Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Good morning, everybody. A happy Wednesday to ya. James Hamm is here. So is Joe Brazil. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. And we are sponsored by our friends at Jiffy Lube, hanging out with you until noon. Appreciate everybody listening on the radio on 1320 AM. Hello, good morning. If you're listening on the free Odyssey app, we appreciate that immensely. If you're not listening on the Odyssey app, you should download the free Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You search ESPN 1320, you favorite that station. And then when you fire up the app, it's right there. You don't have to search for it. And then you can listen to us wherever you are in the world, which is a great feature of the free Odyssey app. Plus, they got a bunch of podcasts, music.
Yeah, good stuff.
YouTube, Twitch, hello. Good morning, everyone watching us on YouTube and Twitch and everybody in the chatty house. Good morning to you as well. If we did not get to say good morning to you individually before the show started, just know that you're still in our hearts. And we appreciate you. And everybody listening on the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show podcast, which you can download and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Hello. Hope the future is as bright as it looks from here.
That's a long intro.
Yeah.
We got all the bases covered.
A lot of housekeeping.
Yeah.
Anything going on tonight on this radio station? No. We got nothing going on tonight. NIT basketball championship game tomorrow, though.
Oh, okay.
Watch out.
Watch out.
There's two teams playing in that one. I'm really looking forward to it. Joe, can you look up who's playing in the NIT championship and let us know? Thanks. We're going to be fired up for that matchup. I can't wait.
The NIT championship.
The Kings play tonight. We'll get into that. But man, hell of a night in the NBA last night.
I think that the NBA is easily the most watchable, like, highlight reel sport that we have. And last night,
yeah,
I think you just got to see, like, some of the craziest stuff ever.
So it's pretty rare because of this that I get to lock in on a Warriors game.
Yeah.
And no Kings last night. Warriors playing at 5 is, like, great because they were in Memphis. Huge game as well. Mm-hmm. We talked about it yesterday in the Western Conference. Steph Curry hits 12 three-pointers.
Just wild.
Scores 52 points, pulls down 10 rebounds, dishes out 8 assists, grabs 5 steals. Golden State still has to hang on to win. But they managed to get a win over the Grizzlies, 134-125. And we talked about this last time. I believe Steph had 12 threes in Orlando. Every single time he does this, I'm like, all right, well, that'll be the last time.
We officially have it. It's the NIT championship is Chattanooga versus UC Irvine.
Oh, oh my God. So good for the NIT getting a rivalry game in there.
Thank you, Joe Brazil.
Sweet. Yeah, my man. Thanks, Joe. UC Irvine v. Chattanooga tomorrow at 4 p.m. Don't miss it right here on ESPN 1320. Nah, man. It's one of the things, and we'll talk about our West tiers later on, but there are just certain players in the league that can put a team on their back like that. And Steph wasn't letting them lose last night.
Yeah, I wonder if we're watching, like, this generation, who's going to fill the shoes of these guys? And, like, I just don't know, because this generation of, you know, again, whether it's Curry or LeBron or KD or, you know, name that superstar. Even, you know, Jimmy Butler's had his moments, and James Harden and Russell Westbrook, who, of course, will be part of the next discussion we have. But, like, this is such a great era of superstars. And the fact that they're still all holding on at, like, 35 and still doing incredible things, it's just absolutely crazy.
That's the thing is I wonder with this group, right? Like, is it... is what we're seeing like a special just era of the NBA, or does it seem special because it's happening now? And is the next generation of stars, because I think we get so wrapped up in the like face of the league conversation. But the thing about the face of the league conversation is nobody picks the face of the league. There was not a conversation and we went, we've all decided that LeBron James is the face of basketball. It just happens, right?
Yeah.
People say it can't be a foreign-born player. Yes, it can. If Victor Wembanyama just dominates the league the way we think he's going to dominate the league, then he's just going to be the face of the NBA, and that's how it's going to happen, right?
And if not, I mean, Luka has every opportunity in LA to like be the face of the league.
Yep.
Without any question.
Yep. Jason Tatum's got a chance. Anthony Edwards has been in that conversation, right? We'll just it'll play itself out, right? But part of me wonders that Chris Paul is another guy who's still, you know, not as as effective as a guy like Steph or LeBron, but still playing big minutes in the NBA.
Still at a first ballot Hall of Famer,
39 years old or whatever he is.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, even DeMar DeRozan playing 42 minutes the other night.
That's a great one.
Like he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yes. So. Are we going to see this with this next generation? Whatever the group of players shakes out to be, this group of 8, 9, 10 guys, are they going to be playing into their late 30s? Are we going to have to change the calculus of kind of the way we view career trajectories?
Yeah, because what is your prime?
Yeah, it used to be, all right, there's that famous tweet that I can't say because it has the F word in it, but it's by a Warriors fan in 2016, I think. That said, LeBron's almost 30. This effery won't go on for much longer. He's now 40, and the effery is still going on as strong as ever. But no, it's that's how it was. You got to be 33, 34. It's like, all right, twilight of the career. That guy's gonna hang him up.
Yeah.
No, it's like 33, 34. Like you're still a max contract guy.
We were all like sitting here watching, like Harrison Barnes at like. 31, like, ooh, I think he's lost a fastball. No, he's probably going to be in the league for another 7 years.
Dude, yeah, he's going to do the Harrison Barnes thing.
Yeah, and we're talking about a guy who literally takes care of his body as well as anyone in the league.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's interesting that we're watching this era of basketball where, you know, because I grew up watching a lot of 80s and 90s basketball, right? So especially in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
The 90s are, it's like the era of the great center. Of course, you have Michael Jordan, who's the greatest player ever, especially in that era. He's the greatest player.
Sure.
But you have, like, half the teams in the league have a Hall of Fame center.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when Dikembe Mutombo is, like, the 10th best center in the league, like, that's just wild, like, how good the center position was.
Yeah.
And we keep, like, changing, you know, that's what I love about, basketball, especially compared to, like, I don't know, Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is the same. It's literally the same sport. They try to keep messing with little things, but it's rudimentary, the same exact sport that it has always been.
Yep.
Like now there's this new bat that we'll talk about later on that may or may not change the trajectory of some sort. No, it's still going to be the same sport.
Yep.
The NBA completely changes who it is every decade. And it's one of the more interesting things to watch, like the evolution of the game. And it like, Steph is probably the most influential player in the last three decades. Like what he's done to the sport after Michael Jordan is just, he's completely changed everything.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, watching these guys play this deep into their careers, and not only that, but, you know, what is Steph, 36?
37.
37.
He is, Steph Curry is 2 years older than Larry Bird was when Larry Bird was on the Dream Team.
Oh.
And at that point, Bird had a bad back and was just kind of there as a ceremonial salute. Steph's 2 years older than that, and he's scoring 52 and putting up 52, 10, and 8 with five steals in a must-win game.
And this is the second time this season he's gone for 50.
Yes.
That's just, it's absolutely remarkable.
Ludicrous.
So I think a little bit of it is the way that the, you know, weight training and medical staffs and what we're learning more and more and more about, like, recovery rates and all that stuff. Yeah, I think that's helped this generation, but I don't know. I mean, you had guys like Karl Malone that went out there and played 40 minutes, 82 games a year for 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I don't think you're going to see that anymore. That's the thing I don't think. I think the game is largely cyclical.
Uh-huh.
Like, at some point, the big man will make, there will be a renaissance of the big man in some form.
I think it's quietly happened.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
We're starting to see that kind of like cycle back around. And it may take 4, 5, 6, 7 years, but you'll start to kind of see. I don't think we'll ever get back to everybody's playing 78 plus games. Everybody's playing 40 minutes a night. That will never, ever be a thing again.
I do think, though, that that's why I personally like the 65 game rule.
Yeah.
Because I think these guys, this generation of players, will not play that if you don't force them to. Yeah. There are some guys who will play 78, 79 games. You know, the Domantas Sabonis. What, he played 81 games and 79 games, like, back-to-back seasons. Harrison mm-hmm. Barnes played every game for a couple of years. There are, like, outliers, but for the most part, this is a, it's not, they didn't grow up with the same idea, are you hurt, are you injured?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. Rub some dirt on it. They mm-hmm. they don't have that mentality.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I saw somebody called out Jake LaRavia in my Twitter feed the other yesterday for,
nice.
For he's missing games because of a little bruise. It's like, no, man, he's got a bone bruise in his thumb. Like, how are you supposed to catch the ball, pass the ball? Like, a bone bruise.
At that point, you're being detrimental to your team.
Yeah.
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 If you've never had a bone bruise, by the way, not a comfortable thing.
No.
It sucks. One quick thing before we get to Jokic's insane game. Did you see the Bucks box score against the Suns last night?
I glanced over it.
Okay. So the Bucks beat the Suns 133-122.
Okay.
As the Suns continue fading out of the race for the 10 seed. Milwaukee shot 68.9% from the field.
Oh no.
58.6% from 3 and 93.3% from the free throw line. The lowest individual shooting percentage on their team belonged to Kyle Kuzma, who shot 50%.
What?
That's remarkable.
What in the world?
In a game, the Suns, we talk about the Kings playing with urgency. The Suns, A, had probably higher expectations than the Kings did going into this year. And they are in a worse place in the standings. And we're talking like, hey, urgency, you got to go out, you got to play out. And they give up, they have that type of defensive performance.
Okay, so I did look at the box. I looked at the box because I'm like, hey, how did the Suns stay in the game? And it's like they stayed in the game because Devin Booker just tried to backpack
them. Yes.
But I mean, they're out there starting Connor Gillespie, who, again, I like. I like Connor Gillespie. And Tyus Jones coming off the bench for 16 points on 6 of 8. So I had looked at their box. I panned down like, okay, Giannis just torched him for 37. But I did not look at, and I actually was going to make a joke about Ryan Rollins going off for 8 of 10 from the field and 5 of 7 for 3 for 23 points. It's like they just got beat by a rando, like the Kings always get beat by a rando. I did not look at the shooting percentages. 68.9% is, I mean, the Kings shot 65 point something the other night, which is
64.9.
I think
whatever it was almost 65-ish percent.
Yeah,
it was a lot.
It was crazy. And that's like, we looked, it was the highest percentage that they've shot in since 2001 or something, right?
Yeah.
And one of their four best shooting percentages in the entire history of the franchise. But to see something like this, that's just a laydown. And it wasn't even that big of a blowout. I mean, it was 133-123, and it wasn't even, it was closer than that. I think it was,
good stops.
Yeah, I think it was 123-129 with like 38 seconds left.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, the Bucks finished them off. What a crazy.
That's one of those lines that they shoot in the first half, and you go, well, they're not going to maintain that.
Yeah, there's no way
they're
going
to come
do
back
that.
Down to earth. Like, they just did it. Before we get to the line of the night, and the game of the night, maybe the game of the year in Denver. We've got a little bit of breaking news out of Major League Baseball. The Athletics, who designated Estuary Ruiz for assignment 3 days ago, have traded him to the Los Angeles Dodgers, where he will be optioned to AAA. I look forward to his huge World Series moment.
Yeah, he'll probably steal 75 bases for the Dodgers this year because that's who the Dodgers are. They'll bring him up just to steal bases.
And it's going to work.
Of course.
No, but Ruiz is a player. We talked about him a couple of years ago when he was having his big year for the A's. This was in 2023, his first year in Oakland. Stole 67 bags, led the league, hit 254 out of 309 on base. And you went, wow, that's a really talented player.
Yeah.
And now he gets into a Dodgers player development system. He's still only 26 years old. That's exciting for him. Hoping the best for him. Really talented player. He just couldn't quite figure it out in green and gold.
Yeah. And the A's acquired a 6'7" starting pitcher, Carlos Duran.
Love it. Great.
Yeah.
I know nothing about Carlos Duran. Do you have numbers?
He is a 23-year-old, 6'7", 230 pounds. He's a righty, a starting pitcher.
Great.
He actually started a spring training game for the Dodgers.
Okay.
1-0, 4-5-0. At the AAA level last year, I don't know, 2.08 ERA.
In one appearance?
Yeah.
He's coming off an injury.
Yeah, I wonder too.
We'll have to do some research.
Yep.
We'll learn all about Carlos Duran in a bit. Been a pro since 2018, though, when he's 16? Holy smokes.
Man.
All right. Well, the A's made a trade. Anyways. We'll get to the line of the night, game of the night. And is the NBA MVP conversation shifting once again? We'll talk about that. And we'll redo our West tiers. I'd done Western Conference tiers. It's time to reshuffle those. And we'll see what James thinks of them. We'll see what you think of them. Coming up next on The Insiders, we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's Joe Brazil. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out with you till noon, so hang out with us until then. Right here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. To find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Lamonte Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
And we're back. James, Joe, Kyle, the whole group. Jiffy Lube, omnipresent. Jiffy Lube, omnipresent on this show like they are in the greater Sacramento region.
Yeah.
You need a car service done.
They've got locations everywhere.
JiffyLube.com. It's going to be the closest thing to you.
Yeah. Use the hit Jiffy Lube up with the Odyssey truck last week.
Nice, dude.
Well Perfect done. Service. Shout well out to done. Them.
My man.
They let you drive the Odyssey truck everywhere?
Yes, they do. So as on the promotions team, yeah, I am responsible for driving that truck and the van and the other van. And I don't know why.
I don't even know where they I don't even know where they are here.
Like, they're parked around the back.
Yeah, they're parked right over there.
Oh, I never park over there. I always park out front.
Yeah. I drive in that way sometimes, and that's the only reason I know they're over there.
That's where I park back there. It's my little spot over there.
Don't we have like a semi like the big trailer? Like, don't we have like a I don't know.
We have a trailer, and it was out at Abe's show on Friday.
Oh, nice. Okay.
We do have a trailer.
All right.
Well,
truck.
They don't make you drive the trailer, though.
I do not drive the trailer.
No, no.
We had a trailer. We are partnered with a trailer.
I see.
Yes.
Very good.
Oh.
Peeling the curtain back on promotions here at Odyssey Summit.
There we go.
Shout out to Joe Brazil, our producer and promo guy extraordinaire. We're talking about fun games in the NBA last night. Might have been game of the year last night in the NBA. Double overtime. Timberwolves Nuggets. Nikola Jokic in a loss, a 140 to 139 double overtime loss, goes for 61, 10 and 10.
So ridiculous. I think the most startling thing is that he only had 10 rebounds and he only had 10 assists in a double overtime game.
Right.
Like, come on, slacker.
Guy stinks.
What are you doing?
Guy stinks. I have for the most part in my life been a Russell Westbrook hater. I'll say that with my chest. I don't shy away from it as well. And it stems from not thinking that he's bad. It stems from, man, he was a thorn in the side of my favorite team for a long time. He is a very, very good player. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh yeah.
He is incredible. This whole like triple double revolution thing started with him. You want to talk about the way Steph Curry changed a game? That is how Russell Westbrook changed a game. And I've just not been a fan. As he's aged and he's taken on these different roles with this team, like, I'm rooting for him in Denver. Like, it's really cool that this niche he's carved out with the Denver Nuggets, I'm rooting for him. I felt so bad for him last night. If you missed it, 1-point game, double overtime, Nuggets lead. There's like 12 seconds left. Russell Westbrook jumps a passing lane, gets a steal. He has a fast break, one on none. It might have been technically one on two, 2-on-1, but he gets to the rack unencumbered and just leaves it short. Just a layup that he has made 50,000 times in his life?
Probably, at least.
Just missed it.
Yeah, we're not talking like the Zach LaVine miss.
Yeah, where he's kind of stumbling and has to...
Well, I mean, still, Zach LaVine had no business missing by a foot and a half.
No doubt.
I mean, you're 6 foot six. He just was under the rim, and, like, he went up... You know how many layups I've missed like that in my career as a rec or junior high basketball player?
More than Russell Westbrook, but not
that
many.
So many. I am such a bad layup guy. So, yes. I mean, I even missed one at a when the Kings did a walkthrough practice with the media. I missed one of those those layups right at the rim.
Mm-hmm.
I miss layups like that. So when I watch him, I'm like, oh yeah, I've done that before.
Who among us, you know?
Yeah.
So he goes, and it was like a layup line, dude, and just oh no. Timberwolves pull down the rebound. Keep in mind, Nuggets up by one.
Yep.
Like 9 seconds left at this point. They swing it around. They get it to Nikhil Alexander-Walker. He's in the corner, goes to shoot it. Fouled by Russell Westbrook.
Shooting
the three at the buzzer. Misses, goes to the free throw line, hits his two free throws with 0.1 left. Misses the third one intentionally. Ball game over.
Ball game.
I felt so bad for Russell Westbrook in that moment.
Live by the Russ, die by the Russ.
It just, ugh. And then he missed a free throw earlier. Now, granted, Jokic missed a free throw too, so I'm not going to put the free throw on Westbrook. But
well, he did take. I think
he's been
Jokic
so good for them this year, and just
19 to 24 from the free throw line. I think is what Jokic shot.
Yeah.
It was something crazy. So if he misses one, I mean, he's still like,
yeah,
absolutely incredible.
Yeah, he's fine.
So there's only 2 60-point games a season.
Both by Jokic?
No.
Oh, no, De'Aaron Fox, of course.
De'Aaron Fox.
Yes, De'Aaron Fox.
Former King. King's legend.
King's legend, De'Aaron Fox. So the Nuggets lose that one. 140 to 139 in double OT. Just a thrilling game. Anthony Edwards struggled all game, hit a bunch of big shots late. Just really, really good hoops in Denver. But Isaiah Thomas, speaking of King's legends.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas weighed in on the MVP discussion. Because it seemed like, after Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had a huge game against the Nuggets and the Nikola Jokic, that it just kind of sealed up the MVP conversation. It's a wrap. This is SGA's year. But then Jokic goes out and has 61, 10, and 10. It probably would have helped if they got a win. But Isaiah Thomas, and this is how I feel about this conversation. Every time I say SGA is MVP, Joker's ass does some crazy stuff. Then I go back and I'm like, never mind, Jokic is the MVP. That perfectly sums it up for me.
I
feel so convicted. I'll watch SGA play. I'll watch the Thunder dominate. I'll watch him have 40. And you're like, man, hell of a player. This is his MVP. And then you watch Nikola Jokic go for 61, 10, and 10 and hit multiple game-tying baskets inside of 10 seconds. You're like, I don't know. I don't know how you say he's not the most valuable player in basketball.
I have a tough time with this because, like, the advanced statistics say that Jokic is still, I mean, him and Shai are very close in most of the advanced stats.
Yeah.
But this is a player who has shown us time and time again that he is probably one of the 10 best players to ever play the game.
Yes.
And
that's not hyperbole.
No. And so last season, you know, we looked at, I don't know what the MVP is. Is it the best player on the best team? Because that's how I always assumed that it was.
In which case, it is SGA's.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But Jason Tatum was on the best. It was the best player on the best team last year, and he didn't even win the MVP of the finals.
And he wasn't even top three in MVP voting.
And he wasn't even remotely close. So, like, how are we going to judge this specific season? And, I mean, again, you can look at the fact that they have so many more wins. I mean, the Thunder, it's 63 wins. They're 63 and 12. They're 14 games up on Houston, and they're 16 games up on Denver.
They've won 10 in a row.
Yeah, this is incredible what they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. So I think Shai will win, but yeah. I also, like, we had this discussion at the media table maybe 2 weeks ago, and our friend Sam Amick was there asking the question, and he still thinks that there's a good chance it's Jokic, just because the voters didn't give it to him 1 year and now regret that they do believe that he should have won it the 1 year that they penalized him for not winning a championship. Well, how do you give it to Shai? He's not won a championship. He's not even been remotely close.
Well, I think it was Jokic couldn't get a third MVP.
Yes.
Because he hadn't won a title yet.
Exactly. And then
the talking point.
But they didn't give it to him and then he wins the title.
Right.
And that season. So. And so then you're like, okay, we gave it to Embiid, and it was close, but still Jokic, like the statistics say, is so much more impactful than almost any other player in the league, or than any player in the league over the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a possibility that they don't penalize him this year for record or whatever, because things happen during a long season. But the fact that he can go out and do this, and the fact that on the season he's averaging 29.7, 12.8 rebounds, 10.2 assists. I messed that up.
You're good.
But he's shooting 57.5 from the field, 41.6 from three, and 80% from free throw. Like, this dude is absolutely bonkers good.
He would be, and I have not done the deep dive on this. I probably should. But I think he'd be the best non-MVP ever if he didn't win it this
probably.
Year.
Probably. Yeah.
Box score statistic standpoint, from a analytics standpoint, and this is with respect to LeBron, the year that Derrick Rose won it. Kobe, I know, probably should have won it one of the years Steve Nash won. James Harden had a couple of unbelievable years, the years Curry won,
and he did not win. He had an average triple double and did not win that might be the like the case study against Jokic.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, this kind of feels a little bit like the MVP race in the NFL a couple of years ago where it was where Aaron Rodgers won over Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Or statistically speaking, Tom Brady was the best player. Like, just so much better.
Yeah.
And, like, you still, there's no way to tell me that, he didn't deserve the MVP over Aaron Rodgers.
I just don't, I think, and again, I'm stealing this thought from Mina Kimes talking about Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson during the NFL MVP race.
Yeah.
The only wrong answer to me here is that it's not close. The only wrong answer to me is that this guy deserves it and that guy doesn't.
Mm.
I think that Jokic has been unbelievable, but if you try and make the argument to me that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander does not deserve to be the MVP, I will not buy it. He has been unreal. He was unreal last year.
Yeah.
And then he got better this year, and their team got better. I think the difference between SGA and Tatum last year is Oklahoma City is awesome, but Boston last year, like, Tatum was the guy, but you still had Jaylen Brown there. You had Kristaps Porzingis who had his moments. Jrue Holiday had his moments. Like, they just have all these different ways they can beat you.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like while OKC is ridiculous defensively, and they have all these guys, we just saw it against Sacramento, all these different guys that can beat you from the perimeter. Shai is the offensive like hub. He is the focal point of everything they're doing offensively in a way that it didn't feel last year quite like Tatum was. And so much of the MVP voting, I think, to me, probably comes down to that. Like, what's the vibe?
Yeah.
Because trying to follow everything like really, really closely when you're trying to cover 30 teams is super difficult. And so you go a little bit off of that feeling, off of that vibe. And I think that's where Shai has a stranglehold on the conversation in a way that Tatum just didn't.
Yeah, and I also think that Tatum gets penalized slightly because he's surrounded by four All-Stars or three other All-Stars.
Yeah.
Like, I think everybody looks at, you know, again, Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis and Jaylen Brown. They're like, okay, like, dude, you're playing for an All-Star team.
It's the same reason that neither Steph Curry nor Kevin Durant were going to win it as long as they were paired together.
No, of course.
Yeah.
I get that. I get that because, I mean, they're going to lose votes to each other.
Sure.
Right? And on top of that, I think that there is, like, Jalen Williams made the All-Star team this year with OKC, but it was out of respect. It was out of respect for their record. It was out of respect for, you know, you wanted to give it, you give two players on that team an All-Star bid.
Yeah,
and it did make some sense. They're just that much better than everyone else.
No doubt. I'm Kyle. He's James. Joe Brazil is rocking with us. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We are the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. All right. I want to redo. Oh, wait. I didn't grab the video. It's fine. We'll skip it. I want to redo our tiers in the West.
Okay.
Because since the last time I did these, things have shifted pretty dramatically. So I'm going to go through these, and if you disagree and you want to move people around in your tiers, totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
Totally cool with that. Joe, if you'd like to play along with us, please do. All right. Tier one is what I'm calling the contenders. And that tier belongs to Oklahoma City and Oklahoma City alone.
And this is just Western Conference.
Western Conference only.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think anybody's in a class with OKC right now.
Not even remotely close.
I would be not floored. I would be pretty surprised if it's not Oklahoma City representing the Western Conference in the finals.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you watch them play and they're so good on the defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
And like, again, it feels like every player that they have is a plus-plus defender.
Yep.
And so you're just sitting there waiting to see when they're going to lock you up and just put the game away.
Yeah.
That and their offensive style, again, it's the three-point shot or it's at the rim. And they're such, I don't know, high-caliber, like, refined offensive team that they score at the rim all the time or they get to the free-throw line all the mm-hmm. time. So there's no way to get, like, a true separation from them because they slow the game down in a weird way, and then they're able to set their defense all the time. I don't think, you know, again, this team easily could win the NBA championship this year.
I agree.
Yeah.
They play in 2 years ago, got to the conference semifinals last year. It's like if they make that leap this year, not a shock to me. And you just mentioned it. What they can do defensively and the fact that they have perhaps the best one-on-one scorer in the sport right now, that plays in the playoffs. That's something that Kenny's talked about a lot. Like, if the Kings manage to make it to the postseason, like, they're kind of built offensively for when games slow down and things grind to a halt to be effective in that spot. And I think Oklahoma City is just kind of the maximized version of that because of what they can do on both ends of the floor. There's just not really a huge weakness outside of, well, they just don't quite have the star power.
Yeah, but that it doesn't matter because they have like eight different dudes that can do the same exact thing.
Exactly.
And if one of them's having a bad night, they just swap him out for somebody else, and they play hard.
Yep.
I mean, their offensive rating on the season is a 119.2. Their defensive rating is a 106.
Yep.
Their net rating is a plus 13.2.
Which is the best in the league by a lot.
Yeah, yeah. By like three and a half points. Yeah.
Tier two. This is tier two. We'll call it 2A. And we'll call it tier two. This is on the fringe. These are the teams, I think, if Oklahoma City, if you say, hey, Oklahoma City got upset, they didn't wind up going to the finals. These are the teams that I think could represent the West.
Okay.
That is in this order. Denver, Golden State, and the Lakers. And if you want to flip Golden State and the Lakers, that's fine.
Yeah, they're a coin flip for me. Yeah, I do think that the only true test for OKC will be Denver.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion. Like, sure. I think Denver still has, they have the experience factor and they have the star power factor. And like, sure, they do have, you know, some incredible post defenders, but Jokic is a different beast. And like the way he orchestrates and the physicality that they play with in the playoffs is different.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm with you. That's the fringe. And I don't think that they're like probably two tiers below OKC, all of those teams.
Sure.
But but just for the sake of tiering this thing.
Yeah. I think if you want to call it tier two is blank and this is tier three.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'll buy that. Yeah, because I think, you know, Denver, they certainly have their flaws because it's just a lot of Jokic right now. And I don't know that they have another pitch. I don't know if their depth in a playoff series is gonna hold up for seven games, which is a question. Same thing with the Lakers. Like, defensively, I don't know if they can hold up over a seven-game series. And then Golden State, it's like, if Steph's not averaging 30 a night, I've seen him ratchet up defensively. I've seen some of their role guys. Moses Moody's gotten hot. Quentin Post has gotten hot. Jimmy Butler, playoff Jimmy, is always a factor. But those are all question marks to me. But I'm trusting the star power is the theme here. You give me LeBron and Luka, all right. You give me Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray in a playoff series, sure.
They've been there.
Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, all right, cool. I'll buy it. This is tier 2.5. Actually, we're going to put a pin in this. We'll get to tier 2.5 and the rest of them when we come back because we got to step aside for a moment. Western Conference series, we're reordering them. We'll continue doing that next right here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2. Sacramento's sports leader.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I will get back to our Western Conference tiers here in a second. James has not seen this video yet. Apologies to our radio listeners. I hope this plays okay, but bear with us. It's only a minute. This is at the Atlanta Hawks game last night during a timeout.
Place it on the board, and the first to get all five game pieces or tic-tac-toe will be our winner. So, James, Dez, are you ready?
Ready.
All right, then tic-tac-go!
All right, so you got to go make a lay, and oh.
Oh, James! Oh, no!
Oh, man.
Oh, let's make sure my guy is good.
I love that.
The other guy just keeps going.
That guy just going.
Well, I mean, that's the rule.
Yeah, no, he's not gonna. I love that the I love that the mascot goes down to the other end too.
Can you just?
Yeah, and there we go. He's,
can you just
gonna
be
do
kind
it.
And come over here with me and check on James dog, Dez. We know you won, but okay. Turn around. Okay.
Oh, this is not good.
This is
him,
so awkward.
I mean, I don't even.
Oh no, that's so awkward.
And so the reporting is afterwards that he blew his ACL.
Yes,
I didn't see a replay. Was it like bad?
It was pretty bad.
Oh,
I don't think that was a joke.
If that was a joke, that was a really well executed joke.
Here's the thing: did they make him sign a waiver or not? Because if they did not make him sign a waiver, and he's part of that contest, man.
Yeah, he just hit a wet spot on the floor and just went down and immediately went down holding his knee.
Yeah, they're going to be on the hook. They're going to be on the hook for something.
Yeah, that's
tough. That's tough.
I feel so bad for the in-arena MC there. Like, what do you do?
Hey, we do have some breaking news.
Like, I think she probably did the right thing. Or do you just say, hey, stop the game? We're gonna stop because you have
no idea. I
don't know either. That person
I would probably panic
was not prepared for that situation. We have breaking news.
Go ahead. According to Sham Sharania, the NBA is looking into Memphis Grizzlies' Ja Morant using finger gun motions towards the Golden State Warriors bench last night.
What?
Sources tell Shams and Dave McMahon. Tim McMahon.
I'll find this video too.
It's because this is the guy who has issues with guns.
Yes. Like, you've been suspended twice.
Yeah.
For gun related things. This is not, Ja Morant was awesome last night. He was really, really good. As he's walking off the court at one point late in the game, he does a two-finger gun shooting motion at Golden State's bench. I think it might have been specifically at Buddy Hield.
I think Buddy Hield just happened to be right near him when it was happening.
Okay, here's the video of this. Ja Morant, bottom of the screen, right here. Let's watch Ja Morant, who has been suspended twice for gun-related incidents. Let's watch what he does as he walks off the court.
Had some form of gesture there. You can make that what you want.
And then Buddy Hield kind of responded. So you have Ollie had form of.
Yeah.
That's tough, Ja. He's doing like a double finger guns at. It looks like Buddy Hield based on Buddy Hield's response.
Yeah, that's just. This is not great.
Buddy Hield responds in kind. They got double technicals. And now the NBA is looking into Ja Morant because apparently this is still a problem.
Yeah, it's a common sense problem. That's what the problem is. Like, this is like repeatedly doing silly things with gun motions or with actual guns. I don't know. Like, again,
figure it out, dog.
We're going to hear Ja Morant's name mentioned a million times here in this summer because I do believe that there's a chance he gets traded this offseason. We heard Howard Beck start this and, you know, and we've heard other murmurs about this, sure. But like, this is what you get.
This is part of the reason we're going to hear his name this summer.
Yeah.
It's just stuff like that. I don't get it, man.
Yeah.
Anyways, he was assessed a technical. Buddy Hield assessed a technical, and now the NBA looking into Ja Morant's use of a shooting motion, like a gun shooting motion, at an opposing player.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to our Western Conference tiers. Speaking of the Memphis Grizzlies, I don't think I have Memphis in here. I forgot Memphis.
You did. You can go ahead and put them in tier four. That's fine.
You know what? I think I might. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
Okay, so tier two was on the fringe, and I'm buying their star power. That was Denver, the Lakers, and the Warriors. This is tier 2.5.
Yep.
This is on the fringe. I got to see it. So that's Minnesota, and I have to see that the version of Julius Randle that they're getting right now is awesome. He's like passing,
mm-hmm.
and instead of, you know, when he gets the ball kind of in like the mid post, and then he just starts backing down no matter how many players come to him, and he's going to turn around and put up a bad shot.
Yep.
He's now backing into those spots and like kicking it out to open shooters.
Wait, are you saying that an older player who is refined in what they do can change their stripes and do something different than what they've been doing their entire career? Kyle, that can happen?
Well,
I did not know that you can teach an old dog new tricks.
Well,
just saying.
I wasn't going to go there, but you did. So I just have to see that they're going to continue getting that Julius Randle in the playoffs.
Okay.
And can Anthony Edwards continue shooting it at the rate that he has shot it this year in the playoffs? And can they ratchet up defensively? Like, I'm skeptical of the Julius Randle fit.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see it. Houston is in this mix. In fact, Houston is probably first in this tier because Houston is the number two seed in the West. Houston is very, very good. Houston is also very, very young. And so when it comes to the postseason, it was the same thing with the Kings a couple of years ago. It was the same thing with Oklahoma City last year. It's like, all right, your young team in the playoffs, what does it look like?
Yeah. So for me, like, look, Houston, the problem that I have with Houston is that they just have not been there. And if I'm Houston, like, we hear all these rumors this summer about, like, oh, this summer they might chase KD. They might chase Devin Booker. Player XYZ, whatever. Like, but for me, Houston needs to look at OKC and say, if I keep this together, what does it look like next year, the year after that? Can I keep this thing together and keep growing this thing and get great?
Yeah.
Because I think they can. They have so much talent, but talent doesn't mean anything when you get to the first round of the playoffs for the first time. And all of a sudden, you know, it doesn't matter if you're the 2 seed or the 4 seed. Like, the Kings faced it a couple of years ago. They were the 3rd seed.
Mm-hmm.
They lost a first-round matchup against the Golden State Warriors, and that's because that's typically what happens the first time you get into the playoffs.
Yep. It is really hard to make a deep playoff run in your first trip to the postseason.
Unless you're the Indiana Pacers and you run up against, like, 3 teams that lose all their players, and it's just, like, freeway right to the...
Yeah, exception that proves the rule. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then the Clippers are there as well. Because the Clippers have the star power that, like, the Lakers and the Warriors and the Nuggets have, but I'm not buying it.
No.
I got, like, can you get Kawhi through 2 or 3 playoff series? Like, that's what I got to see. If Kawhi Leonard is healthy in the conference finals, cool. But until they get there, I'm not banking on it.
I think what changes my mind on them a little bit is the play of Zubats. Zubats has been so incredible, and
he's been amazing.
If they can get like the stabilizing force of Zubats in the middle, like they have a shot. Especially when, you know, what are they right now? The fifth seed, sixth seed.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they're gonna face off against the Houston Rockets in the first round, that's one
Clippers
of those.
Currently eight.
Okay, eight. Yeah, if they can get up to seven, then I think that they're gonna be. You know, you want that 7-2 the Houston Rockets matchup. Because I think that they can win that matchup.
I would agree.
And then away you go.
The Clippers, the 8 seed, one game back of the 5 seed. Yeah, man. The fully healthy version of the Clippers is kind of a buzzsaw. They have a really, really good team. I think they're really, really well coached. Like Ty Lue is not typically going to get out coached in a playoff series. And when they're fully healthy, their talent level is super high. But are you getting Kawhi if your first series goes to 6 and your next one goes to 7? Have you got him for all 7 games in the next series? That's a question.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe. But again, I got to see it. I got to see it before I'm going to bank on him. We'll go tier 3 is Memphis.
Okay.
They're just by themselves because they're not on the fringe because they've lost 3 in a row since firing Taylor Jenkins. I don't know what Memphis is. I was kind of high on them earlier in the year, and now I think
they're rudderless, and I think that they will lose a play-in. I do not think that they'll be in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're going the wrong direction.
Yeah, right now they're tied for the 6th seed with the Minnesota Timberwolves at 44-32, but they're a half game above the Clippers. I think they're going to fall into the play-in.
It looks like it.
And almost like self-imposed punishment to knock themselves out. Like mm-hmm. whatever happened there, I'm not sure, but to just fire your coach with like 9 games left in the season, whatever happens to you, you deserve it at this point.
So as more stuff comes out, this guy they hired, I forget his name, Tuomas, I forget his last name, but apparently they invested like big money to buy him out of his contract in Europe.
Okay.
And this has been their long-term plan. And so I think they just kind of accelerated it. I don't know, weird thing.
Yeah, that's
They're
fine.
They're 0-3 since firing Taylor Jenkins, by
but
the way.
But they fired a head coach and 2 assistants, and now you're asking a dude from the EuroLeague to come in down 3, basically 3 people,
mm-hmm.
and hey, go ahead and get us there. Yeah. Like, whatever happens here is going to be a mess.
Yeah. So they're in a tier by themselves in tier 3. Tier 4, happy to be here. And that's the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
The Dallas Mavericks have gotten healthy a little bit. Now all of a sudden they're the 9 seed instead of the 11. And I think that fan base could use a win of being in the play-in and hosting a play-in game.
Yeah.
So I think Dallas is happy to be here right now. Then you've got tier 5. And that's the, can this season be over already?
Please, dear Lord, make it end.
That belongs to the Kings and the Suns.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think either of those teams wants this season to continue.
I have a thought that the Kings don't feel like they're that team. They just are that team, and they don't know it.
Let's put a pin in that and address that coming up next. That's Joe Brazil. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube's the sponsor. We're the Insiders. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're back in a second here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Hitter.
You're listening to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
KIFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento,
ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen, Joe Brazil spinning on the ones and twos. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube and we're hanging out with you until noon. Then we will hand it off to D'Lo and KC. We'll wrap up our Western Conference tiers. We've got to get to the bottom of the West here in a second. But you said something interesting before the commercials. about the Kings not knowing that they're a team that's just trying to get to the finish line.
Yeah, I think Kings fans feel that they're just trying to get to the finish line. The Kings themselves, I don't think that they know, like, they still think of themselves as a good team that hasn't figured it out yet.
Hmm.
Like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm off base here, but like,
that's the vibe you get.
Yeah, when, like, we had the one night where, you know, Zach LaVine talked about the vibes being down, but I literally think that that was because they had just lost a game and he had to go talk to the media and the vibes weren't up because they had just lost again, right? You talk to everybody else and they're like, no, the vibes aren't down. We still love each other. We still pull in the same direction. Sure. We're still trying to get wins. I don't think that they know why it is that they keep failing, and that's a problem in itself.
And listen to this radio program, we'll tell them.
That's true. Like, it's very, very true. But at the same time, like, look, I don't think that they believe that they're a horrible team. Mm-hmm. And I do think that they believe that if somehow they were to get into a playoff series, that they've got as good a shot as anybody, which, again, I don't agree with. You don't agree with. Most Kings fans don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't change that that's who they believe they are. And so, okay. But, yeah, I think, like, when we look at this list, you're right. Phoenix is like, can we just please, can someone just, like,
those
end this thing?
Those dudes hate each other.
Yeah, they're like, hey, can you just, like, blow this thing up right now? Like, we're all not just planning our vacation. We're planning, like, we got the movers coming because we don't know where we're moving to, but we're not going to be here.
We're packing up.
We are packing up.
There's at least one Kings fan who believes that they can win a playoff series, and that's our guy Joe in Elk Grove. He's on line one. What's up, Joe?
First of all, last night an underdog, Corbin Carroll, hit home run winner. Wooker hit home run winner. Today, I'm taking Lawrence Butler to hit a home run.
Nice.
Oh.
Love that for you.
He's due. Okay. He's due.
He is due.
Okay, and my next thing, Mr. Ham, we're not out of it, the Kings. Here's how it goes. Either Minnesota or the Clippers get that fifth seed, the sixth seed, and drop Memphis into the play-in. Minnesota beats Memphis. Memphis loses. Kings beat the Mavs. Kings play Memphis. Kings beat Memphis. Kings go to Oklahoma City, win in six.
Ipso facto, Kings in the playoffs. Playoff run.
Kings in the second round.
Joe, you're calling a second round. Joe. Wow.
Hey, Joe.
Shout out, Joe.
Is he gone?
Yeah.
No,
that's fine.
I was expecting Joe to throw some more flames on this Ja Morant fire that he started. He started.
He did. He started this.
He's the guy who started all of it a couple of weeks ago with the talk that Ja Morant. And who was the other guy that the Kings would be trying to get? There were two.
I don't remember the other one.
I definitely remember
John Collins.
It might have been John Collins.
Okay, I remember John Morant 100%. Like that was he
I
called in
the other one.
Yeah, anyways. Interesting. I have been told by like I had a conversation with somebody who said that the Kings were really never in on John Collins this year. That they were close to getting John Collins a couple of years ago when he was with Atlanta, and all they had a deal on the table and they just didn't get the deal done at the end of the day. It wasn't them not trying to get the deal done. The deal never like materialized past their offer.
Yeah.
But that they did not have conversations this summer, even though that is counter to many things that I've heard outside of the walls.
Yeah. Joe in Elk Grove did say he, bet on the Kings to beat the Thunder in six. Man Fastlane said at the break, with the right roster the Kings can run, with most of them talking about the teams in the West that they would face. And I don't like that's what's kind of like the frustrating part about this Kings team.
Yeah.
Is like I don't think there's a scenario where they go beat Oklahoma City in a playoff series. Well, he's not a fully healthy OKC team. And that's not a knock on the Kings. That's just I don't think anybody in the West is going to beat OKC.
Yeah.
But if you told me, hey, they figured it out. They had to go on the road to Dallas, but figured it out, and they beat Dallas, and then they beat whatever team. It doesn't even have to be Memphis. Maybe they beat the Clippers. Maybe they beat Minnesota. Maybe they beat Golden State. They beat them in the second play-in game, and they were the eighth seed. Sure, man. Because we've seen this version of the Kings play some really high-quality basketball. It's there. But I don't think that their current pieces, A, are enough to make any kind of real playoff run, but B, can do it consistently. And if you told me, yeah, hey, the Kings played really consistent high-level basketball for 2 weeks, then yeah, they win the play-in, and they give OKC a little bit of a series. But the problem is not what how well can they play. It's, okay, we know they can get here. Now, can they plateau there? Or it's just constantly waiting for the valley once they peak.
Well, I also think that the problem that we have with this current team is that they can win a half, they can win three quarters, but then they fall apart. Or they can show up one night and you just look at them like, oh my gosh. I mean, we saw it last week with the Blazers. They beat the socks off the Blazers. I mean, just like the shooting percentage, one of the highest percentages that they've had. Well, it's the highest they've had in 20-something years, but overall, it was like, holy cow, look how good they are. And then they come out and they just don't play at all in Orlando. And then they come back out and they have a really good game against the Indiana Pacers. But again, now they're a team trying to figure out how to win again. They're back at step three at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
And so we just don't know. Are you going to get the blow you out team, the get blown out team, or the make a mistake or two down the stretch team? And so, you get into a seven-game series, they could open that series and beat Oklahoma City by 25 in the first game. And everyone's like, uh-oh, what did we just see? The next two games, they could literally not show up at all.
Yep.
And just get blasted.
Yep.
And that's what I would expect. Like, this inconsistency of this roster, of this team, of everything that's happened this year, it just feels like they are so incredibly fragile.
That's it. It's a house of cards.
Yes.
Just every game, you try and build it up. Nobody breathe on it. And all comes crashing down.
Yep.
So again, that's why, like, we're gonna keep talking Kings. We're gonna be locked in. We've got Kings Wizards tonight. And we're gonna watch it and we're gonna try and take stuff away from it. But based on, you know, years and years of watching basketball and you years and years of covering basketball, you just kind of see what a team is. And it's very, very rare, nay, has never happened, that 76 games into a year, that Tiger changes its stripes.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be wild?
It would be. It would be complete, like I said, it'd be unprecedented.
It's crazy because they have every opportunity to get momentum right now. They do. Mm-hmm. They've got two, not just winnable games, like these are games that you almost would have to try to lose.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the Wizards and the Hornets back to back. Not even back to back. They've got a game on Wednesday and a game on Friday, but two games in a row, you got two of the worst teams in the league by a long shot. And like LaMelo Ball isn't playing right now for Charlotte.
Exactly.
Like you're going to look at a young Washington team that, you know, traded two of their better players at the deadline and like realistically are cashing it in. Plus, isn't Coulibaly out?
I believe so.
He's out for the season.
They just lost to Miami by 26.
Yeah, it's just not a good team.
Yeah.
It's not a good team at all. So what we're looking at here, though, is an opportunity to get two wins, get to a game within 500, and then you have the Cavs, the Pistons, and Nuggets, the Clippers, the Suns to finish this thing off. Like, I don't know what team we're going to get from one night to the next in those final five games. I don't. And they could win three of those games. They could also lose all five and just get embarrassed and not make the play-in. It's
the uncertainty. It's the uncertainty that kills you.
I've covered so many different versions of this team.
This year?
Yes. But over 15 years, I've never seen a version like this. Most of the time, you know, walking into the stadium, they're just not very good. And most likely, they're losing by 12 tonight. Most likely, they're losing by 6 tonight. Mm-hmm. You have that idea of what's going to happen in each game. Or, hey, this isn't a very good team. I think the Kings will win by, you know, 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not usually off by that much.
Mm-hmm.
This season, like, who knows, man?
It changes, like you said, quarter to quarter.
I expect them to walk into these next two games at, like, my expectations, no one else's, is that they're going to win each of these by 20. the Washington and Charlotte game, they'll win both games by 20, and it won't even be close.
Mm-hmm.
And again, fans are going to be like, oh, I mean, it might be enough to put the Suns away where the Suns are like, okay, we're done.
Yeah. Yeah. We're they're just running out of games.
Yeah. Yeah.
You hope so. Just lock in that play-in spot at least. Finishing up tiers.
Yeah.
We said the can this season be over already tiers, Phoenix and Sacramento. Tier six is the A for effort tier. That's the Portland Trail Blazers. Super thumbs up, Blazers. They're still trying to win, kinda. Their young guys are at least playing hard. Jeremy Grant hasn't been playing. DeAndre Ayton's been out, right?
Yeah.
But the young guys, Chauncey Billups still coaching them hard. They're still playing hard. They're still trying. I don't think they're going to get to the 10 seed, but A for effort for Portland because they could have pulled the plug and been awful. And they've at least been kind of competitive.
Yeah.
Shout out to Portland. Tier six is everyone else at San Antonio, New Orleans. They're just kind of there. They're not fully tanking. They're just kind of, well, San Antonio is now.
Yeah, I mean, San Antonio pulled the plug when De'Aaron Fox, when they decided to shut De'Aaron Fox down.
Yeah.
And that was always expected.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised by that. You know, they're worried about draft picks more than they are anything else. And they don't even have, like, their own draft pick is not going to be very good.
One, two,
three, four, five, six, seven.
But they got like, that unprotected Atlanta pick.
The eighth pick, I think, is where they're at.
Then tier seven is the Jazz. The Jazz don't get to hang out with everyone else. They're by themselves. Or tier eight, whatever that is.
You know, I wish the NBA had like a anonymous 1-800 number you could call and like say, hey, the Jazz are tanking.
Yeah, dude.
Excuse me, the Jazz seem to be
the tanking. NBA tanking snitch line?
Yeah. Use like a Darth Vader voice.
Remember when they did that during the pandemic in the bubble? They had the snitch hotline? Where if you saw somebody doing some stuff they weren't supposed to be doing with COVID.
Is that how Rashawn Holmes got caught getting his chicken wing delivery?
I forget.
Oh, dude, I totally forgot about
that.
Yeah, dude. That was hilarious.
That's so funny. It was Rashawn Holmes.
It was not hilarious for him because he spent, I think he got quarantined for 10 days in his room.
Yes.
And like went stir crazy. Like
I can imagine.
I talked to him afterwards about it and was like, dude. Like, there's nowhere to go. Like, my room is only so big. There's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Horrible.
So it happens.
Yeah.
Hope the chicken wings were good.
That's why you don't DoorDash.
Good Lord. Yeah, but no, there was a snitch, like, hotline you could call in case you saw somebody getting chicken wings or bringing somebody in or whatever it was. Now, I remember we had a drop at the old station I was at, 95.7 The Game, our sister station in San Francisco. We had a drop of, I forget who it was, but they did a video that was, he went, don't call the snitch hotline.
I would love to call and,
excuse me, I think the Utah Jazz are intentionally losing basketball games.
Can somebody call and just like throw them under the bus?
They're like, yeah, no, we know.
We know. You're not the first caller.
Hell with the Jazz, bro. They're the worst team in the West, and they shouldn't be. They're way too talented to be the worst team in the West. They're purposely losing, pulling guys back and not playing. The hell with the Jazz. I hope their tanking doesn't work out. If they're rewarded with Cooper Flagg, I'm going to be pissed.
I'm going to be super angry. Yeah.
You're the super. Opposite of the cold envelope.
Like a hot envelope? What
that
one hurts. Just, let me go to a different one.
What the hell is in that envelope? Anyways. The A's lost again last night. The Kings play the Wizards tonight. I want to talk about torpedo bats. I've not gotten to do that yet. And we talked about John Morant. Should the Kings be getting involved in that conversation this summer? We'll talk about that next as well. That's James Hamm. Joe Brazil's over there. I'm Kyle Madsen. And Jiffy Lube's the sponsor of the program. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. Joe Brazil's in the other room. Rocking with you until noon. D'Lo and KC coming up at noon. Quick programming note. Tomorrow, 5:45, not 4 o'clock, 5:45, the NIT Men's Basketball Championship. That is Chattanooga v. UC Irvine.
All right.
Fired up. Can't wait. The A's lost again last night, 7-4 at Sutter Health Park. Ball's flying out of there, man. It's funny because typically when a home run travels out of a ballpark, it reaches stands. But because of Sutter Health Park's construction, there's no stands, specifically out to like left center and left field, where most of the power is for right-handed hitters. Brent Rooker's home run looked like it went 6 miles.
I don't understand why they weren't able to figure out a way to add stands, grandstands. I mean, because, like, look, the park is small, so it only seats 14,000, right? Mm-hmm. And basically what you've done is supply and demand has driven up ticket prices outlandishly, and I think a lot of people all of a sudden are like, hey, I don't think I want to go to a game and pay X amount of dollars right now. Prices mm-hmm. are already starting to come down. But why you wouldn't have, like, again, they tore out a bunch in right field to add a bathroom, right? Mm-hmm. They did. That was one thing that they had to do. Mm-hmm. Why they didn't just level the hill and put in stands there? Why they didn't build stands over the top of the buildings in left field? I just don't get it.
I would assume there's like a horizontal space problem that comes with that. And then I would also assume there's cost involved.
Well, I agree, but I mean, we've all been to the Oakland Coliseum a bunch of times, right?
We've also all been to RiverCats games. And if you add 10,000 more seats...
No, that's true. You're not going to be able to
concrete handle. Might start cracking. You know,
yeah.
I think it's more, that's one, you know, you worry about just like the overall building itself. But I think the bigger concern is like, how are you going to be able to handle the concessions and all that stuff?
This is the other thing, according to Manny, time constraints. Like they had a pretty.
No, I get that. How much time does it take to put in grandstands?
Level a hill and throw grandstands up while trying to do everything else they're doing? Probably quite a bit.
A different construction.
Plus, in left field, isn't the clubhouse in left field?
Well, yeah, but why can't you build grandstands over the top of the clubhouse?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Players got to go out there?
I don't know. Like, maybe. Maybe there's a, yeah. I just look at when I...
We'll
when
ask you, Vivek next time we see him.
When you watch a home run go out to left field and it just, like, hits off the top of a building, it's like... Why is there not anything out there? And I
because it's a AAA stadium, dog.
No, I that's true.
Because this is what they signed up for.
No, totally, totally. I agree. I just like if I'm someone who is trying to capitalize on the fact that you have Major League Baseball in Sacramento for a couple of years.
Sure.
I would have considered ways to you know, and do this stuff.
Maybe they do it this offseason. Maybe they're assessing here and they're coming up to the same conclusions you are.
Yeah.
And they go, great, now that we've got all these other little things out of the way, new lights in and all these things to make it major league compliant, mm-hmm. now we can figure out how to add more stands.
No, maybe.
I wonder, so as you mentioned, you don't think the park is going to be playing this big, James, because you said the wind's been blowing out and this might not be the rest of the season, the park playing this small. I wonder if it continues to play this small, if also when they add seats and whatnot, maybe they push the fences mm-hmm. back even further. And maybe just make them taller. Like it's the right field fence next to the bullpen is insanely short. Like you could probably jump over it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Kyle Tucker could probably hit 100 home runs this season if he just played there. Like,
or if he just played the A's, he kills the A's.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
So
like
I don't know.
Soderstrom with the Mariners.
Yeah.
Like you brought that stat up to him, and then he continued.
Yeah. He hit a tank the next night, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Shout out Tyler Soderstrom, friend of the program.
He's got a hit every single game that he's ever played now still.
Yes.
He's
not had a hit in Seattle.
So I heard that the dimensions of the outfield, the outfield wall, are identical to Oakland's.
Huh.
they're identical. And the point I was making about if you haven't been to the Oakland, if you drive around the backside of the Oakland Coliseum where a lot of us had the media parking and everything mm-hmm. else for Warriors games, they have just an entire graveyard of stands.
Yeah.
It seems like you could have repurposed something there to bring him in and like, I know the expense of it and everything, but like, it seems like there could have been a way to add some of the stuff that we're talking about.
Yeah. And maybe they will after this year.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll see how it goes. It seemed like last night there were way fewer people there than there were on opening night, which is expected. Opening night's a big deal, and then it comes down. But maybe that's what they're waiting on, too. Before they throw that expense into it, make sure that the demand is there.
Yeah, yeah. I think last night they had 10,000 fans versus 12,000 on opening night. I don't believe the 12,000 number at all. Like, to me, that park was absolutely packed. There were maybe two rows of seats that were like six or eight seats where you could see on both sides mm-hmm. that were almost in the identical spots on both sides that were empty mm-hmm. And not two full rows, like only like six or eight seats.
Yeah.
Outside of that, the place was packed. It looked like there are 500 people out in right field mm-hmm. on the grass. And so I would be very surprised if the number wasn't closer to full capacity, but they didn't sell it as that. So,
yeah, which is weird.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. And then, like, look, I think if there's a point where you could do it, I personally, they have those two buildings in left field. Turn those into rooftop bars.
Mm.
Like, turn sure. them, like your the apartments in mm-hmm. in Chicago at Wrigley. Like, turn them into that.
Sure.
Because I think that there is an opportunity there to have, like, a really cool atmosphere out there as well.
Yeah.
Now again, structurally, whether those buildings are built to house sure. that kind of thing or whatever,
yeah.
you're gonna have some question marks, but like, why not?
Yeah. I imagine the weather played a role last night too. It looked cold. It looked like not a great time to be outside on TV.
It was frigid the first night.
It did not look like a good time.
Yeah. Standing on concrete like for 2 hours wasn't exactly what my back had in mind for, you know, like, that's just not, I'm not built to do that.
If you want to jump on the Elk Grove Kia talk line, it's 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Manny is on the line. What's up, Manny?
What's up, y'all? Hey, so I have a sort of an insight on some of the A stuff only because as a we ran a lot of the fiber that they were trying to upgrade into the building, and I got to go in there a couple of times and see some discussions that were going on, and they definitely had a lot of time constraints that were going on. Permits are always the bane of everybody's existence.
Mm.
I'm trying to get the right permits, and utilities have to clear everything. And those, WestSac was a nightmare with that. So that was a lot of it. I believe once this season finishes, they'll take a lot of that stuff and try to continuously improve on the stadium and do the things they need to do going forward. But this definitely was one of those, everything has to be done by this date and this has to be done and we got to get this up to regulation and we'll worry about everything else later type thing.
Yeah, that all makes sense. That all makes sense. Anyway.
Shout out, Manny. Appreciate all your hard work. Is TC still there? No, he's gone. We want to talk a little
bit. Sorry, TC.
That's fine. We'll transition back to basketball. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil in the building as well. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. A's Cubs series finale today, 12:35 at Sutter Health Park. You're going?
No. I was going to go, and then for some reason I had the schedule mixed up for the Kings, and I thought it was way later.
Mm.
So I can't make it back
sure.
somewhere to yeah. watch the game and to come on for my 3-4 hit on D'Lo and Casey.
Mm, right on. We'll get to Kings Wizards in a second. Actually, you know what? We'll just do Kings Wizards now. That's fine.
Okay.
Kings play the Wizards tonight. I think Washington has very quietly, they're not good. Don't get it twisted. Don't put it in the newspaper that I think the Washington Wizards are good. I just think they're kind of a little bit worth watching, which okay. is a substantial change for them from earlier in the year. And again, they're not like great, but Alex Saar has been playing a lot better. Jordan Poole is kind of starting to figure his life out a little bit. Marcus Smart is there, that kind of veteran. Justin Champagny is a player I know they like a lot. He's actually getting to play You mentioned Bilal Coulibaly. He'd been playing pretty well. He is now out. I think Alex Starr specifically and Jordan Poole are two players worth keeping an eye on tonight. Just when you're taking in the Wizards basketball experience, it's not going to be pretty. They're probably going to lose by a lot of points. But those are two players, if you're looking for, like, hey, are the Wizards going to be a factor at all anytime in the near future? Those are two guys that make me think they might be a factor.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Poole, like, last time out, scored 35 points. The problem is that no one else scored. Well, they had Tristan Vukcevic score 14. The rest of the team capped out at 8. Oof. So, Bub Carrington, A.J. Johnson, which I don't even know who that is, Alex Starr. You know, we've
AJ Johnson's the cat who can jump out of the gym. He got traded with
he's
Chris Middleton. Yes.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
It's from upstate.
Yeah.
Remember that? He had the dunk against the Kings last year.
Oh, yeah.
And Kevin Herter like jumped off the bench.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Jaren got mad about it.
Yep.
Anyways.
Rashawn Holmes times, coming off the bench. Might get to see a little Rich.
Sure.
Yeah. And they do have Marcus Smart, who's just not playing well since getting traded there, and you kind of feel for him a little bit, but they're not very good, and they've lost 8 of their last 9, and some of the defeats are, like, they lost in Indiana Pacers 116-109 in regulation. 162-109.
They gave up 162 points in a regulation basketball game.
Yeah, that's wild. That's the game where, like, almost every single person on the Pacers that stepped on the floor had double figures. Where they have, like, they had 9 guys in double figures. Yeah, Nembhard had 7
That's
points.
Outrageous.
But, yeah, just, like, absolutely crazy. Another, you know, the Pacers shot 64.1% from the field.
Man.
27 of 47 from 3. So, like, look, this is a get-right game. Like, get yourself on the right path.
I wanted to just say something nice about the Wizards up top. This is a game the Kings should win by a lot of points. Regardless of how the Kings are playing,
yeah,
you can you play a C game tonight, and you're winning by 20.
Yeah,
if you play a mid level game, you'll win by 20.
Yeah, I'm kind of I'm excited to see what Sabonis can do against their front line. You know, like, this is a game where I would feed Sabonis the whole time. We should probably get into keys.
Yeah, go ahead. Key number one.
The Kings aren't in a place to overlook anyone. Like, just straight up. If you overlook somebody, then you just, like, just end the season tonight if you're going to overlook the Washington Wizards. Like, just, that would be an embarrassment for you to walk in and not take this team serious and not be up by 10 points after the first quarter and 22 after at half and realistically 30 by the end of the game or 28 with a bunch of guys playing that, you know, don't typically play a lot.
Yeah. You can't bank on it with the Kings because who the hell knows?
Mm-hmm.
But if you come out and play with the appropriate urgency, knowing, like, hey, if you want to play after the season is over, you have to win.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you, man. You play a B-level game. You play an A-level game. That's what you start to look at is a 30-plus point win. But you can't throw your jerseys on the court.
Nope.
You don't want to be in a dogfight in this one for sure. Number one for me, ball movement will make scoring easy here, man.
It does.
Not a great defensive team. Alex Starr is a terrific young rim protector, but if you're moving the ball around and making them get into the rotations, they're going to give up a lot of points.
Yeah, this just isn't a good team, but go ahead.
Number two.
Mine kind of relates to yours. Stop with the hero ball. Mm. If you see hero ball tonight, if you see something, call somebody. If you see something, say something.
That hotline that you're calling to snitch out the Jazz, call it on the Kings too.
Yeah, just like, hey, like, look, what are you doing? Stop that.
Yeah.
Go sit down.
Yeah.
Go sit down until you learn how to play the right way again.
Yep.
And so I don't want to see hero ball at all. Even in the fourth quarter when this game could be a blowout, if you get to step on the court tonight, play the game the right way.
Yeah. Yep. Number two for me, find what's working and then don't go away from it. A little bit in the same vein.
Yeah.
If it's you're feeding Domantas Sabonis, you're getting into pick and rolls and you're hitting him on the roll and he's scoring every time, just do it. Maybe he has 50. It doesn't matter how you score the points. Find what works and keep feeding that thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And that kind of plays into what mine is. It's feed Domas.
No.
He is your best offensive weapon. He is the guy that creates for everybody else. Get him the ball and let him do his thing. This whole zero assist last game thing that happened.
Crazy.
That's on the Kings.
Yep.
Like, feed Domas, let him do work. Do not cap him in by just avoiding him, which is what some of these players do.
Mm-hmm.
Let him make the game easier for everybody.
Yeah. It's a must. We talked when we were talking earlier, just to kind of zoom this out from tonight's game, when we were talking earlier about a version of the Kings that wins a couple of play-in games and is interesting in the playoffs, it's that. That's the version of it. When they do that, the offense flows. It looks good. People are eating, getting open shots. Wow, look at the Kings.
Yep. Pretty simple.
Seems like a good night to, again, not overlooking this team, but this is a team where you can execute those things. So go do them. They're not going to throw a lot of curveballs at you defensively.
What's your key the matchup for the game?
I have a third key real quick.
Oh, my bad.
And it's about Alex Saar. Turns out I'm a big Alex Saar guy.
You are.
I just really, he's been really freaking good over the last couple of months. He's a 7-footer, but he's listed at 7'205". He's 19 years old. He's been cooking. He's going to have a couple of wow plays tonight. You got to get physical with him. I'm imagining Keegan will probably get the first shot on him and play physical defense with him. Knock him off of his spots, make him uncomfortable. He's the one guy who can block a couple of shots and hit a couple of threes, and all of a sudden things are a little dicey. You go out and you force him to have, Miami forced him into 8 points on 3 of 17 shooting. Make him have one of those nights. Just really, really make sure that this doesn't get interesting.
Yeah, he's not a good rebounder or anything else yet. He does block a lot of shots, but he's just, you know, he's got 94 blocks on the season. But he's a player that's like under construction, and eventually he's going to be a very good player. You can see it.
Yep.
But he's not there yet.
Not there yet.
And he probably hasn't faced many players like Domantas Sabonis.
Correct. Matchup of the game, Jordan Poole and Keon.
Yeah, I think that they have one player that can score, and you have a player who can probably come close to neutralizing that player.
Yeah, yeah, but if Jordan Poole is going to go out and go hit a bunch of threes and other guys start knocking down shots, it gets interesting, but I don't know. You shut the faucet off there, you pretty much shut the faucet off entirely.
Yeah, yeah, this is a team that should struggle to score against you no matter what, even if you are a bad defensive team.
Yep. All right, we got the handoff coming up next. One of D'Lo or Casey will be in. I also had two underdog lineups last night, and I won them both.
Oh, yeah.
My baseball lineup, 3 for 3. I did a lineup for the Warriors-Memphis game. I went 5 for 6 in that one. I'm going to try and dish out another winner for you coming up next as well. Let's win some money together on underdog. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Now Joe Brazil is going to hit the button.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
There, dang right. Joe Brazil's here, too. We'll get to the handoff. Momentarily, we'll talk with one of D'Lo or Casey. Find out what they thought about a wild ass night in the NBA last night. Actually, we'll run our Western Conference tiers by them.
Oh, okay.
See what they think. We mentioned the A's play this afternoon at Sutter Health Park, which means it's time for our underdog lineup of the day. Underdog Daily Fantasy. It is so much fun. It is my favorite way to watch sports, and I think you'll enjoy the heck out of it too. You can win some money just by having takes on sports. You pick higher or lower on at least two player stats, which is what I did last night. I went 3 for 3 in my A's Cubs lineup. I went 5 for 6 in my Warriors Grizzlies lineup, won a little cash. And then here's the lineup I'm rocking with tonight. This afternoon. Kyle Tucker kills the A's. I'm riding that again. Higher than 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs for Kyle Tucker. Jeffrey Springs, the A's starter. I'm going higher than 16.5 pitching outs. I need him to get two outs in the sixth inning.
Oh.
All right? Five innings. Yeah. You need to get two outs into the sixth inning. So okay. 5 2/3 is what I need from... is that right? Yeah, 5 2/3. Yeah. From Jeffrey Springs this afternoon. And then Brent Rooker, I'm going higher than half a home run. I think he's hitting another tank today.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel good about that.
I'm intrigued to see how the ball flies during the day, even though it's still cold.
A little chilly today.
Yeah, it's still cold. So kind of like unseasonably cold April for Sacramento.
That's my lineup. Kyle Tucker, higher than 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs. Jeffrey Springs, higher than 16.5 pitching outs. Brent Rooker, higher than half a home run. Would love for you to play along. Download the Underdog app and sign up now using promo code KYLEM to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. Join in on the fun when you sign up with promo code KYLEM. Claim your special offer today and get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly upon first deposit. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24-7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Putting together winners, baby.
All right.
I love baseball season. It's the best. There's just games on constantly.
There is so many games. So many games.
Unrelated to anything that I was just talking about with Daily Fantasy, it's time for the handoff. Kenny Caraway in the building. What's going on, Kenny?
What's good, man? What's good? Man, I don't even know how to say this.
Uh-oh.
I'm just going to say, yeah. I was playing Daily Fantasy yesterday myself, right?
Oh, okay.
And I came across just it's a crazy little prop bet or prop game that they got. At
Square.
Square. It was.
Projection.
It was half a run in the first inning. I think I might be on that all year long.
Oh, that's buddy. You. Let's chat.
Well, let's do it.
That's the
that was crazy.
The Nerfy, the no run first inning is one of my go tos, bro.
What you call it?
The Nerfy, NRFI, no run first inning.
The Nerfy. Now,
that's what they call it in Vegas, because in Vegas, where it's gambling, this of course is not gambling.
Right.
We're talking about daily fantasy. Very different.
Very.
In Vegas, it's called a Nerfy because you can bet on over or under half a run in the first inning, and it's not there for every game.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the daily fantasy version, because you'll see like, I know you wouldn't see this, but if it was like a Tarik Skubal versus Blake
Skeens.
Snell,
yeah,
or Paul Skeens, yeah. or somebody like that, that it's not going to be available,
right?
But every once in a while, you'll see one, and you look, and you're like, those two offenses aren't very good.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
I had one yesterday. Yeah. Or, I mean, we'll see what happens because this is my first.
It happens. A run scores in the first inning more often than you think.
No, I was about to ask you, the percentage is probably, like, if you put that in your lineup, 60% you hit?
Probably better than that.
For me personally, it's probably a little bit better than that. Mm. But... Yeah, it's not because, like I said, they're so judicious with when they put the entry there and when they don't, that it's probably way closer to 50%.
They had, once again, like we always say, there's hotels going up every day. So
yes, facts.
I'm sure it's closer to that. But yesterday they had Logan Webb, and then they had a pitcher for the Astros I had never heard of.
Sure.
But I was like, I'll take my chances with Logan Webb. And
yeah,
then,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Cross your fingers.
Yeah, let's see what happens. So,
it's like the old Keegan Murray half a dunk. Like
that one was what, like if you went more?
Oh,
like 30%.
Oh, it was way more than that.
Like, it was
Keegan Murray
was
half a dunk?
Unbelievable.
And then would tweet out every single time, Keegan Murray dunk.
Again. Ridiculous. I want to run our Western Conference tiers by you.
Okay.
Because we've redone them. Did you listen to this earlier?
I was listening. I was listening while I was getting ready.
So we had contender tier one OKC by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You agree with that?
That's fair. That they deserve that.
Yep.
I got to see it from OKC.
That's fair. That's fair.
And when I say that, we're talking about tier one. We're talking about championship. I'm not talking about can they win a round. We're talking about you win the Western Conference Finals. You can win. I got to see it from them.
Okay.
I think they're a contender. Don't get it wrong. But I got to see it from them because I want to know what Chet's going to do. I want to know what Jalen Williams is going to do in the postseason.
Sure. Sure. That's fair. To me, they're the clear favorite.
That's fair.
Tier two. These are teams on the fringe, and I'm buying their star power. That's Denver, the Lakers, and Golden State. They're tier two. 2A.
That's fair. I almost want to put the Lakers in the tier by themselves.
Above or below?
Above. I think they're better. I think they're better than those two teams.
You think they're better than Denver?
Yeah. Denver's
kind of
Denver's
interesting.
Cool. Denver, no.
The Lakers. I feel about and I. A lot of this, and this is why I have because I have tier two B, which is on the fringe, but I got to see it, and that's Houston, Minnesota, and the Clippers. Like I just have kind of significant questions about all three of those teams.
First, very fair.
In a way that I don't with the other three, but with the Lakers specifically. I don't know that I trust them to get stops over a seven-game series. I think at some point, Jackson Hayes, the amount that they lean on him, is going to come back to bite them in a series at some point. But, I mean, you got LeBron and Luka and Austin Reeves playing at a super high level right now. It's a good trio. I think in that tier two, by the way, they are – no, I had Denver one. And then Golden State and the Lakers, you can flip them.
I think Denver in that tier, in your tier, Denver and Golden State would have to play perfect to beat the Lakers for four games.
That's interesting.
I don't know if they can do that.
That's interesting.
Denver, you guys like Denver better than I do. I think they're a good team. I don't think they're a championship contender at all. At all. And you want to know the strange thing? The really strange thing? I tweeted this out last night. We'll talk about it more too. If the Timberwolves matched up against the Thunder or the Nuggets specifically, if you went in that locker room, they would say, oh, we're going to sweep them. We're going to beat their ass. And I don't know what the season series is, but
with them and the Nuggets?
The Nuggets and the Thunder, but the combination.
I'm pretty sure they swept the Nuggets.
They feel great against those two teams.
That's interesting.
They're kind of crazy. The Timberwolves are kind of crazy, and I mean that in a loco way. They're kind of like if they were like, "Oh, we got Denver in the first round," they'd be like, "We're the favorites.
Yeah,
we should handle them easily." And they feel that same way about OKC.
They split with OKC.
They swept
and swept Denver.
And it's they feel great like that. This I'm going more so on when I see them play and how they bounce around and have they feel great against those two teams. And I don't know if that's going to result in a series win.
Yeah.
But it's notable to me.
That game last night was crazy.
That was a great game. Man, that was a great game.
I went from watching Steph go for 52, 10, and 8, and I'm like, man, best performance of the night in the association. Turn on that Denver, Minnesota game.
Oh, man. Luka.
Oh, my God.
Jokic went crazy.
Ant was awesome down the stretch. There was so many good, so much good shots.
That was a great game. That was a great game. And Russell Westbrook, not the greatest 10 seconds for my boy. That's my boy. That's my boy, but not the greatest 10 seconds. I disagree with Candace Parker, too, by the way.
What'd she say?
She was like, he should have pulled it back, pulled it out, and dribbled out the clock.
No.
Like, no.
Go make the layup.
The problem, Shaq was like, he should have dunked that. And he's right. He should have dunked it.
He definitely
scored. Scored a bucket. Because what are you doing? The dribbling so you can get fouled and then – have to make the two free
I don't mind the take to the bat, but how many times has he made that layup in his life? 50,000?
50 million. I don't know what happened. I feel like he got it caught in between trying to lay it up and dunk it, and he just blew it.
That's just the worst.
It looked, who among us, right? It looked to me like he was so worried about, because he had pace, he was moving.
Yeah.
He was so worried about slamming it off the backboard that he tried to put it up there with too much touch.
Yeah.
And just thought about it too much and left it on the rim.
That was use the backboard, kids. That happened to me one time. I tried to go up for a dunk in a game, and I used to do the Iverson, Scottie Pippen. You dribble it, you have it in your right hand. You kind of grip it, and not palming it because you're under the ball. But you do like this, and then you throw it down, right?
Okay.
You don't touch it with the left hand.
Yeah.
So I go to do that, and I'm going up, and as I try to grip,
it
slips a little bit, and then I tried to like guide it with the left hand and put it in, and it just front rimmed.
Oh.
Oh no.
That's hard. CRC versus ARC at CRC. So it was a nice little crowd. They're like, ah. And then the coach was like, in the locker room, he's like, oh, you know, I don't know, because we lost the game by like one. He's like, and then we got people that can't dunk trying to dunk in a game. Like, where's our focus? Da, 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 da. Yeah, it was bad.
Ouch.
So I dunked the next day in practice and yelled in his direction.
Oh. Look at you.
But that doesn't matter. I didn't get it done in a game and we lost by one.
He said, people who can't dunk. That's what he said. Kenny.
You know, he didn't have to say the name, man. It was only one person who missed the dunk that day.
That's tough.
Amazing.
I had to wear that one. As you can see, never forgot it.
I don't think that there's going to be a chance for Denver to play the Lakers.
Mm.
So I think
Denver's going to be 2-3. Yeah.
Yeah. Excuse me. Looks like it.
Well, Lakers can't get to 3. Nah, because Houston's at 2 pretty good. Denver, yeah, okay.
The Lakers are only a half game back at the 3. But Houston's 2 games up on Denver and 2.5
so
up on
that 3 is going to beat Denver or the Lakers probably?
Yeah.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah. Because
I don't think Golden State's catching L.A. There is 1 game difference between 5 and 8 right now.
Hmm.
Golden State is currently the 5 seed. They are a hiccup away from being on the road in a playing game.
Mm.
That's so wild. Because as of right now, Minnesota's a playing team.
If you're Golden State, would you rather Denver or the Lakers be the 4 seed?
Denver.
If you're Golden State.
If the better question is, if you're OKC, would you rather Denver or the Lakers be the 4 seed?
Ooh.
OKC.
Ooh.
Denver.
No,
I think it's the Lakers.
Yeah.
Like you guys talked about earlier, that game slows down. And every That's possession true. Becomes Luka or LeBron.
That's true.
Yeah, but who's going to defend Shea?
It doesn't matter. That's only one guy. It's 2-on-1. If Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren aren't stepping up, that's what happened against Dallas last year.
Yeah.
It was Kyrie and Luka against SGA because nobody else was able to step up.
We'll have to see how they – I think they'll be a different team this year in the playoffs.
If those guys step up, it's showtime for them, though.
Yeah.
What do you guys got coming up on D-Lo and KC?
Man, previewing this Kings game a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit of everything, man. Pyramids.
Can't wait. D-Lo and KC coming up.
Pyramids or ziggurats? Which one?
Ziggurats.
Conspiracy theories of D-Lo and KC coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil. Is our producer. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Back with you at 10 a.m. tomorrow right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until then, drink water. Be nice to people.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.